Best deal ever? What comes to your mind? Let's take a look at this picture. You know, with my wife, we are a long time together already, and yet the best deals for each of us is a little bit different. You can see the picture. I go there. Low time, low money, get what I need out of there. Oh, well, I need time from kids, and I need to find the best price on sale, and the list is long, and it takes a little bit longer. No, I'm just kidding, right? Raising fourth child, it's no time, no money, no energy. Sleeping 2 days at once would be the best deal. But really, what's your best deal? If I should speak on my behalf, best deal was just this last month, 20 years ago, when I got to Andrews University for the first time. 30 years ago, walking on the street with my dad in the communist Czechoslovakia, isolated from the rest of the world, he was sharing with me a story about someone who studied at Andrews University. And at that time, I was eighth grade. I want that. I want to study at Andrews. And long time, it seemed possible because of the circumstances. But then revolution happened, college seminary reopened in our country. Guess who was the first principal of that college there? Jiří Moskala, your dean, 4 years. And then before I knew, I was here with my wife. And we came, no sponsors, no J visa, just F visa on our own, following God's lead, not knowing what will happen. Just a little loan from friends of my parents. My dad, pastor, you know, really not a good income in that place. And to make the long story short, 8 years later, we were raising three children that were born here, and I earned three degrees, two masters, one PhD, and we were leaving without any debt. Is that the best deal? But watch, wait, the best part will come yet. Just give me a second. So what was the deal Jesus made with his disciples? Can we read together? Help me. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, when you start exegesis, you start from the beginning of the verse, but I would like to invite you to start from the end. All these things will be given to you as well. What is he talking about? What things? Anything you want? What's the selling point? What do we get out of this? Whatever you want? You know very well, and it was played out beautifully, the pictures here. What was the context? Before and after the text, Jesus was actually talking about things that people were worried about the most at that time. You know, the boys, they were worried about food, so he pointed to sparrows and how God takes good care of them. The girls were more worried about clothing, and so he spoke about wild flowers, how beautiful they are without really, you know, worrying. And so what are we worrying about? I come from a country where actually the Czech Republic is known that it is almost required to worry. And especially to share your worries with others. Because if you don't, people might get suspicious that you are doing too good. You are too well off. And they start to be jealous. They envy. And they are mean to you. And they wish bad things to you to happen. But if you worry, you are accepted. And if you worry a lot, they might even have mercy on you. And you might get a favor. So would you like to become a Czech? No circumcision required. No. Easy. We have a saying in our country, don't praise the day before it is over. Don't be happy before the day ends. And in our text, Jesus explains, don't be anxious for your physical existence, concerning what you will have to eat or drink, or how you will clothe your body, Matthew 6:25. And later, as if he said, well, okay, if this doesn't work for you, or if you just cannot make it, I give you a deal, very good deal. If you do this, then you don't have to worry about anything. As if he said, if you accept my deal, you can leave this chapel and not to worry about earthly matters ever again, ever. You like that? But it is not about so much about the ability not to worry as about what you should replace with worrying. And so before we get to the best deal ever, let's see if there is any catch. It's like chiastic structure from A with comma to A now. Yes, and then to B. As you know, the best deals are usually connected with marketing trick, with something that you need to be very careful about and you need to pay attention and understand the deal very well. One day I was in groceries in Europe, in the Czech Republic, getting bread, and there was this nice, heavy-duty European loaf of bread. They are usually not sliced, but this time it was sliced, and underneath there was a sign, fresh-cut bread. And so I thought, okay, good deal. It's cut, and it's for the same price, so I take it. And the next day we could hardly eat it. It was so hard, we couldn't chew. And so the next time I paid more attention to the bread, the same bread there waiting for me. And I have realized it wasn't actually fresh bread. It was an old bread taken out of freezer, baked warm, and then cut. And so they said, fresh cut bread, you know? Old bread, the store need to get rid of, and so they cut it. They made it fresh. Is there any catch in Jesus' offer? But seek first. Does he say, but seek only? He doesn't say that. You know? You don't have to work hard. Just focus on God's kingdom, whatever that is. And the rest will follow. By the way, have you heard the birds are one of the busiest creatures on earth? But he says, put first. Give priority, i.e., always start with. And my experience is that if I don't start with this, then I end up worrying before the day is over. And I'm a good-mannered Czech citizen. Yeah. But seek first. So, did you notice? He doesn't say find first. He says seek. You lost something, and you look for it. No worries there, right? Where's my glass? Well, this seems to be like different seeking. Do you know the game geocaching? Is that? Yeah, see? Yes, you like that. Okay. So this seeking is like geocaching. You are looking for something you don't know what exactly. You are happy if you get it, but it doesn't not stop you from seeking right there again. And you are seeking and singing, don't worry, be happy. Because you have nothing to lose, you can only gain. Really? It's like God playing with us hide and seek, you know? He's behind the tree counting to 20, and then 100 years later he turns around, oh, I forgot to count. Where is he? He's not there anymore. I need to finish the game with his grandson. Is God like there? No, he isn't, but sometimes we act like he is. Seeking does not mean you find all the answers, although leaving seminary sometimes feels like you found. Can tell you my story. When we were leaving, going back, you know, PhD in missions, in a dissertation written on the Czech worldview, how to reach irreligious Czech people, going there with all what it takes to have a good church career and loved the church and wanted to make a difference. And you know what happened? A year later, when I finished my internship and I expressed my desire to be a missionary in the place where God called me, I ended up actually on my own, not being hired by the church anymore. And suddenly I was in a situation where God was calling me to do something, and the conference was calling me to do something different. How do I know? Well, because I prayed and struggled, and then I said, okay, maybe I misunderstood God's call. Maybe this is different, so let me do what the church is asking me to do. But then God turned the circumstances around, and I ended up on my own anyway. Working 10 years full-time for no salary, doing mission, and only then working to sustain my family. Was I disappointed? Yes. I was at the decision to become bitter for all my life. Where am I here? Seeking does not mean, though, you don't find any answers at all, and you are left to bitterly wander in wasteland. Seeking also does not mean that what you find is always the right answer either. Just seek, and you will find that you need to seek more. So let's seek together, shall we? Seek God's kingdom. God's kingdom, this term is 47 times in Matthew only, and then in other Gospels again. What is Jesus talking about? Is it the heaven where we are going after Jesus comes the second time and we are to seek the afterlife? Is it church representing God's kingdom? And are we to seek the betterment of the church and all the best for our church? Is it still something else, mysterious in a way, linked not just to our future, but to our present life? Did Jesus define God's kingdom in any specific way? What are we supposed to seek, really? Look, in his talks, Jesus repeatedly focused not on religious gathering or religious community, but on God's kingdom. Repent, God's kingdom is at hand. Jesus claimed that you cannot find God's kingdom in a certain place, like if you would have a list of addresses where you can come to. He taught people that God's kingdom is already here. We know it because of Luke 17, 20, 21. He also taught that it is invisible and anybody can take part in his kingdom. Anybody. By the way, this was one of the major sources of tensions between him and the religious leaders. So the best discipleship deal ever. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It is an appeal inviting us to base our own lives on the rule of God at hand, God among us. Too often we base our lives on securities provided by humans. Too often we allow things to go in such a way that we have them under control. Too often we run our church in such a way that we are in charge. Security of our interpretation of truth, of our policies, of our human organizations, and all that we can control. By the way, do I look like a woman to you? Is anybody who thinks I'm a woman here? I just want to tell you, the ordination is not really about woman and man. It's about power. It's about who is in charge. Letter sent from Andrews did not help Beck. And even if God sent his letter, it doesn't help if we fight for who is right and who has more power. Seeking God's kingdom means we seek to rely on someone who is willing to be in charge of our lives only if we stop being in charge of our lives. But so often we just can't help but have things under control. May we not act as if the church is God's kingdom, and may we not forget what Jesus said. We should be at the door of the kingdom, opening it for all others, unlocking the door, removing barriers so that people may enter. Look for his kingdom first, and only then look after his church and do it the best way you can. The text says, and his righteousness. As I said, with my wife, we are long time together. Our son is getting married that long. And yet, we come to the point every other day that I think that I got it right. I understand. But then I realize I don't. And so I have to go and talk again. We need to explain each other. We need to put still efforts to understand each other. They call it that you think in different paradigms. And I'm sure God works and thinks in different paradigms than we do. And so we always, always, every time, have to invest new energy and new effort to understand where is his righteousness this particular time? What's happening with God? How does he work? We may have our theology mastered to the last iota, and yet we need to seek to figure out how his righteousness works. Seeking kingdom is to place top priority on identifying and placing ourselves in what God is doing and in the kind of righteousness he has. All else needed is to be provided. God's kingdom is an entity where only loving God is in charge. No one else is messing with his rulership. And he transformed just about anybody who enters the kingdom. Back to my story for the last time. You know, when I was going back, my vision was to have a church planting movement. And so I thought that we would create bridges, all kinds of activities, community organizing, humanitarian help, teaching English, taking care of children, leisure activities, family-oriented events, and even a gospel choir made of irreligious people that we started in 2007. And we met with a few Christians who were willing to be part of the church plant, and people were praying, you know, even here, Roger Dudley and his prayer group, they even adopted our people by names and prayed for them. Thank you, Roger, again. And so everything was set. But then I started to see that the church planting is really getting out of control. Something is not happening the way it should. Because God started to work with people outside. He started to transform them, to use them, to work with them. Not in our church, but outside. And they still call themselves atheists. And this has especially become obvious in the gospel choir. And right now there is 100 singers, actually, and the group grows as we are speaking here. 1 year ago, I thought if I leave, it's going to be dying slowly. But no, God raised new leaders, and it continues. It's going on. And before I let you watch the clip, I just want to tell David one thing. He listened to the clip and he sent me an email. You know, it's nice and inspiring to listen to these former atheists. You know, if you would say to them, some of them would be offended. They are not Christians. Somehow, I don't know how it happens. How does God's kingdom work? I don't know. But they sing this song.
Thunderous voice, they cry, oh,
The point was that they come to the church. But then I realized God is making church right there. Some of them actually were baptized. Yes, we have a church, a new church. But some of them are not and may even not. And God is working amazingly outside the church walls. And that's what I really didn't expect. And, you know, if you see God's kingdom, you may end up, I don't know where. But look, God brought me back here to give you a report about what he's doing. So, in the conclusion, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let God know what you want. Seek God's kingdom, and you will have troubles. Different troubles, though, than the world around. Troubles that are worth it. Troubles that will make you feel like Alice in Wonderland. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and you might be happy, or you might not. You might be empowered, or you might not. You might have more friends, or you might not. You might find all the answers, or you might not. You might actually be worse off in every possible way. But Jesus says, seek my kingdom first, nevertheless, because I have an offer that is worth giving up everything you have. Live in God's kingdom already here on this earth. Live surrounded by the presence of God's love and watch how his kingdom grows and his love transforms people's heart, regardless of their church affiliation, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, against all the odds.
As we close this morning, for part of our class, we wrote a hymn, and the words are going to be projected up on the screen for you to sing along with us. It's based on the tune, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 522, and it's pretty simple. I think you'll catch on, but you can sing along with us the hymn that we wrote this morning.
God wants us all to seek his reign in Christ. The world has all to gain, for Jesus Christ, our Savior Lord, paid every price we can't afford. To Jesus Christ, our hearts we bring. Let's bow before the King of Kings. Let's bow before thank you.
yours. I would like to ask you for blessing your children, blessing the students, blessing the teachers, and everybody else who is present here, and help us to go after you, seek you, look for ways how you are actually working in this world. Help us to understand your will for our lives, and help us not to worry because we have something way more meaningful to do. Help everybody here as they go through struggles in their life, school, marriage, job, or anything else. Please give us the strength and give us the fulfillment that we need really to overcome all the worries. Thank you in your name.